ketchup as in the chip. I would suggest that you...
Is there someone else who can do the
I will suggest from my side. I will try and fly it from that side. I will ask Susanda, the researcher chair, to come in where your doctors have left.
No, doc has left nothing here because we did not hear him.
No, because he was still on page 20, Chairperson.
He started with the summary. Which is something that we suggested, that he starts with the summary of the entire report and then starts from page 20 to page 34 so that we're able to deliberate. So, shoot.
Okay.
And Honorable De Freitas is in the meeting.
My screen is not moving now, so I don't know.
Try for the screen to move because we must continue with the meeting.
That's my prayer, Chair.
Petra, I see your hand is up.
Chair, good morning, members, honorable members and honorable Chair. May I suggest that I maybe share the screen if Jerry still battles? I can share the screen, the vision, just to get the meeting moving on.
Good. Share the screen.
Okay. I've got to switch my device to start. I'm going to go out.
Mr. Boltina, you can talk to the summary meanwhile, so that when she flies the report, at least we start from page 20.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Chair, what
did you... Continue, Mr. Bolton. Aibo.
No, somebody is calling me outside now, Chair. Doctor was just indicating Chairperson what we have done in this budget vote report after we have listened from what the department has presented to the committee on the third of May, and also what the entity, the South African Tourism has also presented to the committee, Chair. So we take all those issues that they raised into consideration. Also, also at the domestic level, as all these issues are really have an impact to the work of the department and the entity as well. So based on that, we also looked at what are the proposed allocations that the department is proposing that it will allocate to its programs, and also what are the proposed allocations that the department has suggested. It will propose it to the programs of the entity. And if we looked into all these, you will find that if you look at percentage wise, we find that the bigger chunk of the department of the budget of the department goes to the entity because of the nature of its work that it's doing in terms of marketing the country domestically and abroad. So those are all of the matters that we have taken into consideration in compiling this report. As the chair will see and members, what are the observations that were proposed of the portfolio committee, and also what are the proposed recommendations that we may take it forward for the House to consider. At this stage, Chair, I am not sure whether Doc can he hear me now. I see him. He is back again. If he is right, then I will hand over to him. If not, then I may continue. Thank you, Chair.
Can you please make Petra co-host so that she's able to flight the report? Dr. Kuzayo, is your network fine now?
I'm back, Chair, but still unstable. But I've requested Sisanda, the researcher, chairs, that if I'm cut, then she can take over. So between myself and her, if the network is misbehaving on my side, then she'll continue with the presentation, Chairperson.
Can you continue from where you left? You were saying that you have structured the report in two forms made for the department and for the entity, and then you got cut?
Yes, thanks. Maybe someone can fly it for me. I'm not sure between yourself and Petra, Jerry, because I am disabled now to share the screen. Yes, Chair. Now, I was just talking to the structure of the report. And then, what will require the committee to do is to get go ahead for the report to the ATC probably tonight. Meaning, Chairperson, whatever the deliberations of the committee, our request will be for the committee to approve the report with the amendment, because it is contested. So by today, we must be able to have a final report, meaning whatever deliberations will then incorporate those immediately after this meeting and circulate the amended document for members to see, so that we are able to send the document to the ATC tonight. So I will then start on page 20 where the observations are. So starting with the allocated budget, Chairperson, if members look at that, you can see that the allocation for the department has decreased. Can go to 21. And the allocation for the department has is hovering around the same. If you look at the GND, it's hovering around what was budgeted before COVID, because you remember, Chairperson, that the budget was it was 2021, so it returned to normality last year, and this year is the same. But on page 21, and if
then you look at the implications of this budget, Chapter 16. I'm not going to dwell much upon this, but it's just to say it is not sufficient for the mandate of the department, looking at everything, including what COVID has done to the sector. So more budget is needed to support the sector, but in terms of what is allocated in the SDA.
Don't move. We are still on page 21. Yes, continue, Dr. Kuzoy.
Yes. So I'm saying it needs to, the department needs more budget, able to assist with SMMEs, those that have been affected by the pandemic, but there is nothing that can be done in that. Chair will recall that there were even some financial incentives in terms of assisting, but there's nothing in terms of the available budget that can be done. Now, also in relation to the budget, there is an issue of vacant posts that have not been filled over time because of the ceiling that was put by National Treasury on compensation of employees. What has happened now is that an amount of 92.2 million has been put, has been added to raise the ceiling for compensation of, and this will assist the department to fill at least 37 critical posts, which will allow maybe the department to deal even with some of the issues that have been raised by committees, even in terms of compliance and other service delivery issues. But what is notable is that it was not new money, it was just moving around money from goods and services to compensation of employees, meaning it took budget away from service delivery money to compensation of employees. So that is the implication of this budget that has been included in the compensation of employees. If you can move down, page 22. Then on goods and services, now, Chair, that's compensation of employees, as I've said, it then means that of the entire budget of the department, only 22% of the budget will go to goods and services. Of the entire budget, only 22% goes to goods and services. So that shows how constrained the budget for the department is in terms of fulfilling its mandate. Now, the implications of the budget that goes to goods and services being only 22%, it means that, for example, Chair, instead of the department may be implementing many small projects, maybe they need to look at conceptualizing fewer but high-impact projects so that they can fulfill the mandate. So that becomes then a conundrum of whether the department wants to have a presence everywhere doing everything but at a small scale, or they want to go big with fewer projects that will have an impact. So I think that will be a policy decision in terms of how they deal with their strategy moving forward. Because in terms of the budget, they can't afford to continue having little projects everywhere that do not make an impact given the amount of money that they have. And the transfers, Chair. As usual, the department transfers a lot, and combined transfers amount to 62.8% of the entire budget. So of the 2.5 that is available, 1.6 billion goes to transfers. And of that 1.6 that goes to transfers, 53% of it goes to the NDG, and therefore the committee needs to really conduct close oversight over the NDG, as the NDG utilizes a lot or more of the budget that is allocated to the vote. And that leaves very little for capital assets for the department. But what is also notable with this budget, Chairperson, is the issue on the working
for tourism projects. The committee will recall that diverting for tourism deals with both infrastructure and training projects, not just infrastructure projects. It's infrastructure projects and in training projects. So there has been a decrease of the budget that goes to working for tourism projects, and the reduction is around 82 million, which means therefore that if you can go down on the implications there from page 22, if you look at the implications, it means therefore the department will no longer be able to, for example, achieve what they had intended to do in terms of your work opportunities, because now the working for tourism, in particular on infrastructure projects, has been decreased. So those are the issues pertaining to the budget, Chairperson. Another observation that was made is on the impact of the National Treasury note that put appointment of service providers in abeyance due to a court order that was made by the Constitutional Court with regard to preferential procurement. And that order said all those tenders that were in place as of 16th February, those could be finalized, but nothing after the 16th of February should be approved, meaning the department is tabling this APP with that hanging over their head. So, for example, if you want to implement these projects, even through the DBSA process, they can only start their work after the National Treasury has given a go-ahead. So this is a matter that the committee, we think, needs to pay close attention on and track very closely, so that the committee at least knows if there will be delays, at least the committee knows in advance, so that when the quarterly targets start being impacted by this delay, at least we know that it was not from the department side, but it was something beyond their control, because unless this treasury note is rescinded, the department cannot appoint service providers. Another observation, Chair, is on the tourism policy review. As the committee knows, it has been a long way coming. Still this whole year, as the department outlined, Chair, it's going to take this entire year for the tourism policy to be approved, because still needs to, the minister needs to apply the mind, then after that needs to go to cluster processes, then cabinet for approval. So it's still going to be a long way. And the committee will recall that this has an impact then on the legislative review process, because the department cannot go ahead with reviewing the act before the policy review process has been finalized. Another observation, Chair, is on internal controls and repeat findings. The committee raised this issue sharply with both the department and SAT to say they must work tirelessly to ensure that there are no repeat findings. From a departmental side, the committee was assured that no, they are doing everything in their power. Even the head of supply chain is now part of the executive meeting. The department ensured that everything is tracked at that level, and the head of SCM will be signatory to some of the documentation to ensure that there are no irregularities in terms of procurement within the department. Another observation, Chair, now and members, is on recovery of the tourism sector. And the committee will recall that the department, together with SAT, developed the tourism sector recovery plan, and a lot has happened in terms of norms and standards to assist the reopening of the sector. But in that regard, also the department has outlined other 11 interventions that will assist in the sector recovery. Also, SAT is doing a lot to assist with sector recovery. But what becomes then critical then is that this will need intersectoral coordination, because the department and SAT cannot do all these things alone, because others are not within their purview. The other departments need to come on board. So it becomes very important that that coordination at that level is facilitated. There is an issue, Honourable Chairperson and members of tourism statistics. This one is singled out of many key performance indicators, because in Program 2, the department says they are going to be piloting how they assist provinces to develop their tourism statistics. And maybe what we can indicate to members is that currently the country uses the TSA tourism satellite account, which is a global methodology at a national level of determining the contribution of tourism into the economy of countries. But at a sub-regional level, in our case, it was obviously, it has always been a problem, because even at a United Nations level, they have not agreed on what is called the economic account, which then gives numbers, in our case, at a provincial level. So this is what the department will be doing, but then it's a matter that the committee will need to track closely, because in terms of indicators, the methodology and all those things need to be correct, so that at the end of the day, we do not have a situation where the statistics is disputed, like it is always the case where the statistics are announced and then you'll have like universities querying the statistics. So the issue of methodology becomes very important in how provinces will be assisted in developing their own tourism statistics. There is another recommendation where we are looking at linking departmental work to other government interventions. This mainly is an observation on linking departmental APP for this financial year to many policy announcements that were made by the president during SONA. So the APP is not clear on how the department will link with all the government interventions, meaning they will need to, when maybe the department comes for quarterly reporting, they will then need on the side, because it's not contained in APP, they will need to on the side then report on how tourism has been linked to these pronouncements that they made in SONA, so that the committee can track what is happening in that terrain. Another recommendation to the members is on the impact of the court orders. The one we have talked about, but we singled it out because that one has an impact on the entire APP. But we have this one that has an impact on transformation in relation to the Tourism Efficiency Fund that is interdicted. It remains interdicted. So high impact transformation programs cannot be implemented unless and until this Tourism Equity Fund the interdiction on the tourism equity has been listed. So it's a matter that needs to be tracked, and committee needs to be appraised on a continuous basis in what is happening there, so that the committee can know what is happening in regard to the Tourism Equity Fund. Another observation is in regard to the impact of floods in KwaZulu-Natal, but it's not only KwaZulu-Natal, honorable members, it's also the northern part of Eastern Cape and also Northwest. And a question was posed to the department as to what they were doing, and they said no, they were still working on quantifying the damage, because when they were dealing with KZN, then Northwest came on board. And here, honorable members, I think we need to then outline the process that is also unfolding at a parliamentary level that is going to need an intervention also from your office, Chairperson. Parliament has established an ad hoc committee on the relief. If you can remain with the, that one on slides, 5.1.9, let us not move from it at the moment. If you can stay with it, yes. On this one, shall I say, Parliament has established the ad hoc committee. And tourism is one of the in terms of the
impact
of life.
Dr. Akuzwayo.
And therefore, it's for the request the
Dr. Akuzwayo.
Hello, Chair.
You are breaking. We did not hear a thing. You are breaking. Can our researcher take over the presentation?
Okay, Chair, am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, good morning, Chairperson, members, and to the Minister. I'll take over until Doc is able to find a better connection where he is. In reference to the point which he was talking on, this isn't with view to the KZN floods and how they've affected the tourism sector for both, it's not only just KZN, but including the Eastern Cape as well as the Northwest provinces. This is in view of the committee that has been formed in Parliament to do oversight over relief funding within these provinces. And with regard to tourism, the fact that it has been affected, it's also important that the sector is also considered within those discussions. And I think that's something that the committee needs to take note of and ensure that it is included in those deliberations by that particular ad hoc committee. And then if we go down to 5.1.10, this one is in view of the delayed response by the department on a number of urgent tourism matters. One that particularly stands out is with regard to the public transport regulator, which is responsible basically for approving tour operator licenses. This is actually something that is a thorn in the industry sector for a very long time. And while the mandate for this does not necessarily fall under the Department of Tourism, it does fall under the Department of Transport, which is a sister organization with the department. However, I think the recommendation here, or rather the observation, is that the committee, or rather the department, my apologies, I'm a bit nervous here. the observation here is that the department should take a stronger stance in trying to engage the Department of Transport on this particular issue. As currently, I'm not sure if members are aware, SATSA, which is the Association for Travel and Tourism, is taking actually the Department of Transport to court on this particular issue. So I think this is something that the Department of Tourism can engage on with the transport sector during the cabinet meetings, etc. That's just one issue under a number of issues in terms of one of them also includes visa issues, where the mandate falls under the Department of Home Affairs, as well as you're looking at the issue of open skies policy. All of these have basically impacted the tourism sector. And I think a little bit of urgency is required from the department in their engagements with their counterparts when it comes to these issues. As much as we refer to tourism as the gold of Africa, unless some of these issues are addressed, none of that will be realized, or the economic returns, rather, will not be realized going forward. And then the next one is on 5.1.11, which is with regard to the implementation of the district development plan, or model rather. So a number of projects have been incorporated, or rather this model has been recognized by the department in the APP, where they're looking at making various projects and seeing being implemented under the model. Like during the oversight visit to Limpopo, that while the district development model is in place, or rather being looked at by districts, however, intergovernmental relations on the ground are not necessarily receptive to this particular model. If one looks at the example of the Ngobe Lodge in Limpopo, where it was both the chairperson of the committee, of the legislative committee there, as well as the MEC, who actually indicated that they were not aware of the projects happening on the ground. And this is a project that has been in the works since 2010, if I'm not mistaken. So while the district development model is recognized as being playing an important or significant role, it has, unfortunately comes into an environment where intergovernmental relations, there's a breakdown there. And going forward, this is something that the department also needs to address on its part when it goes into provinces and trying to introduce infrastructure projects or even skills development projects, and ensuring that all parties are on board, and not only just that, but that these are actually incorporated into the integrated development plans of municipalities to show some semblance of accountability for these projects going forward. Okay, if we go down to the next page, and that is with regard to the appointment of the Chief Financial Officer for the department. The department has reported that the process of appointing a CFO is at an advanced stage at the moment, and the committee will obviously need to ensure that they follow up to ensure that this person is appointed going forward. And at the end of the day, in ensuring that repeat findings of Auditor General, or rather audit findings, are not repeated when this appointment has been finalized. Now, the next section focuses primarily, I'm not sure, do I carry on with the entity chairperson, or do you want to first deliberate on that first part, which is with regard to the department?
Carry on.
Okay. Thank you. So the next observations are with regard to the entity, which is South African Tourism. Now, as Dr. Kuzwayo mentioned, that the majority of the budget for Vote 38 goes to the entity. I think about 1.45 billion of the budget has been availed to South African Tourism for this particular financial year. And it's South African Tourism in this particular case obtains its revenue from different sources. One of them is from the department, as I've just mentioned, and it also receives money from the TAMSA levy, which is collected by the Tourism Business Council of South Africa from its members. And it's very important that the committee conduct close oversight of the expenditure of these monies, basically to ensure that the repeat findings, which have been highlighted by the Auditor General when it comes to the TAMSA levy, are not, it's not repeated, if I can put it like that. And then the next point, which is with regard to fiscal constraints, what is highlighted here is the fact that the budget available for South African Tourism is not necessarily adequate, especially in view of the current circumstances that the sector finds itself in as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. So what is being encouraged here is that in the midst of all these of this financial constraints for the entity, that South African Tourism maximizes on its collaborations with its partners and ensuring that it gets maximum value from those partnerships, especially working with entities such as Brand South Africa, as well as missions abroad, which fall under the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. And this is to ensure that at the end of the day, it maximizes the opportunities that are available through these organizations when it comes to marketing the country and ensuring that branding efforts are effective. The next question is with regard to the number of these include the positions of chief executive officer, your chief quality assurance officer, the COO, as well as your chief strategy officer. These, the reason for some of these posts that have been delayed is with regard to the moratorium that was placed on actually appointing or filling vacancies within the entity. However, that moratorium has been lifted and the board has been active in trying to fill those various posts. So from the last meeting that the, or the rather, I think it was last week when the entity tabled its APP to the committee, it did highlight that there is a recruitment drive in place in trying to appoint a CEO. I think the candidate list for that is currently with the minister to make a decision when it comes to that. And also, I think that's one, and most of them rather, I think, are at an advanced stage with imminent appointments, so that those appointments should be highlighted to the committee in due course. The next one is with regard to sector recovery and the new normal that the sector finds itself in. And this is as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The tourism sector is one of the many sectors that has been affected, immensely so. And this has affected its ability basically as an employment creator as well as an economic contributor to South Africa's economy. However, what has happened is that I think in April 2021, South African Tourism introduced a tourism sector recovery plan aimed at identifying initiatives that would increase demand as well as support supply to the sector in a way to try to respond to what we call this new normal that the sector finds itself in, where more tourists are concerned about where they go and how close it is to home, how safe it is, not only safe in terms of criminal activities, but also health-wise. So these are some of the issues that South African tourism has to address going forward. It not only just affects leisure travel, but also business travel as well. So where you're finding that the MICE sector has also changed in terms of how it presents its events when it comes to physical attendance as well as virtual attendance. So these are all the different factors that the entity has to consider and find ways to maneuver and ensuring at the end of the day that it continues to sell South Africa as a leisure destination, as a safe leisure destination as well as a safe business destination. The next point refers to the marketing prioritization and investment framework, which was revised by the entity. And this basically identifies some of the markets that South African tourism focuses on, or what we call source markets. So here they're looking at 24 prioritized markets that were further segmented into 16 growth as well as 8 defined markets. It was noted that about 92% of the 24 markets are in the international markets rather. And as a result of COVID-19, these have been affected significantly. A lot of with travel bans, travel advisories rather, I've seen that some of these markets have drastically, travel from these has drastically been reduced. So the question then is, how will this particular framework address all of that, especially when it comes to what South African tourism refers to as growth markets as well as defined markets? So the committee is basically advising in this tourism revival that are conducive for recovery when it comes to this current new normal under COVID-19 pandemic. Another observation here under 5.2.6 is with regard to brand tracking. This is one of the tasks, or rather one of the areas of focus under South African Tourism's mandate, and that is to basically track South Africa's brand reputation in the global market as well as locally and regionally. And this is at the end of the day to ensure how the country compares to its competitors and in addressing how this can best be improved going forward. So it is good to hear that the SET continues to do this with regard to South Africa's brand strength and benchmarking. And it's important to recognize or hear what the people are saying about the destination in order to ensure that marketing initiatives basically address this. And then the next point is in reference to the decrease in international arrivals as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. The pandemic has had, as I've mentioned, a significant impact on the international arrivals. In 2019, South African tourism recorded about 10.3 million international arrivals in the country. However, that number has significantly declined from 2020 right up until 2021. In 2020, the country came in, and this basically is a challenge, if one can put it like that, to the entity. And one of the views from the committee is that the entity starts focusing, or rather prioritizing, the regional market, which is the African continent market here, and tailor-made packages for these particular visitors as a means to try to maximize economic returns and ensure that in the event of continued decrease in international arrivals, there is some form of backup when it comes to regional markets and basically the local market at the same time. And the next point is with regard to the reimagining of domestic tourism. Once again, the shock from losing international travelers has led to South African tourism having to refocus its attention on the domestic market and how best basically to maximize the returns from this particular market. Domestic market has been identified as a significant pillar when it comes to recovery for a lot of countries across the world. It's not only just South Africa. And as a means to try to weather the international shocks, basically, it's important that the domestic tourism in the country is recovery mechanism. At the same time, locals are also experiencing economic constraints from COVID-19, and that means that disposable income is significantly reduced. So the question then is what do I choose as a local traveler between paying off a certain bill or traveling? And if the prices are not conducive to that, obviously the choices will be limited and domestic tourism might not necessarily play the significant role that a lot of organizations are looking at towards using it as a recovery mechanism. So it's very important in this particular case also for the committee to actually monitor how South African tourism will be reviewing or revising its approach towards the domestic market and ensuring that they maximize whatever economic returns can be received from there. The next observation is with regard to the revision of the 2030 targets. Apologies on that. The committee recalls that an econometric forecast by South African Tourism was received that it will be targeting about 16.5 million tourist arrivals by 2013. And in addition to that, there was a pronouncement by the president in 2019 that the country can receive about the next one is 5.9, which is in response to poor communication and travel bans. As a result of COVID-19 and its various variants, a number of travel bans were imposed on South Africa. And a number of other scientific, but based more on fear-mongering by the media as well as governments of various countries. And as a result of this, what became evident was the handling of media reports by South Africa internally as well as responding to these kindnesses, which was not necessarily well handled in this particular case. So when this has led to the committee being of the view that South African tourism should be at the forefront of information dissemination when it comes to its various source markets, it was very concerning that the entity was more reactive than proactive in this particular instance. And this had a significant impact on branding information that was issued across the country, which was obviously detrimental to South Africa as a brand as well as the tourism destination. So therefore it is heartwarming that the world has lifted various travel restrictions, and that the country is seeing more and more tourists, or international travelers rather, coming into the destination once again. And then the next section looks at the My Sector, your meetings, incentives, conferences, as well as exhibitions, which is a critical market for the growth as well as recovery of the tourism sector. The committee notes that Meetings Africa as well as Africa's Travel Indaba were suspended over the past 2 years, and a lot of other events as well were brought to the grounding halt, such as various festivals across the country, which are significant for a lot of local destinations. However, with the lifting of travel bans and a better understanding of the pandemic and by countries across the world, more and more events are picking up, and that was evidenced by the also Meetings Africa and Africa's Travel Indaba, which were recently hosted by the entity. However, in this particular case, what remains is that for both meetings, it was what you're seeing is more of a hybrid trend rather when it comes to the hosting of events and meetings. And this is a challenge also to South African tourism, rather the South African National Conventions Bureau, to reimagine and restructure the MICE sector and find ways to adapt to the new imperatives that are basically being imposed by COVID-19. And then the final observation when it comes to, which is directed to South African tourism under this portion, is of new travel trends. These have been basically brought on by the impact of COVID-19. And a number of them have resulted. Some of them, these include basically the prioritization of hygiene and safety, a greater focus on leisure travel. We're looking at more and more emphasis on local versus international travel. There's a wider adoption of contactless payments. You're looking at the personalization of experiences, eco travel, healthy and organic food, customer experience, vaccine tourism, and obviously the hybrid meetings in the MICE sector, these are some among a number of trends that have been observed. A lot more tourists are also looking at traveling closer to home rather than going to your long-haul destinations. So what that means is that South African tourism basically needs to be abreast of all these new trends. And the observation here by the committee is that the entity needs to get deeper insights into these particular trends and basically plan for them accordingly in order to maximize on the returns that the country can receive. from the new trends as well as emerging markets. And then the last portion of the report focuses on the recommendations by the committee to the Minister of Tourism pertaining to both the department as well as the entity. The committee basically makes these recommendations to the Minister for a response, which is no later than the 30th of August of 2022. And the recommendations are as follows. In relation to the department, 6.1, it is recommended by the committee that the Minister of Tourism expedites the policy review process, and this is with regard to the white paper on tourism, in order to allow for the commencement of the legislative review process pertaining to the Tourism Act. It encourages the department to implement fewer but impactful projects and programs in order to maximize the service delivery portion that's based on the currently available budget, which has been highlighted as inadequate by the committee. The committee also recommends that the memorandum of understanding signed with the Development Bank of South Africa provides a turnkey solution where all infrastructure projects will be handed over to the department and operating entities in a fully operational state. It is also recommended to the department by the committee that the department follows up on the court interdict that has been placed against a tourism equity fund and engages the relevant stakeholders to understand the transformation imperative in the sector. It's also recommended that the department enhances intergovernmental as well as intersectoral collaborations with various stakeholders as a means to leverage resources for tourism development as well as tourism marketing. The recommendation is also for the department to address issues that need urgent attention in the sector. This is to assist with tourism development and to avoid affected parties taking court actions against the department or the state. And then the last recommendation to the department is from the committees for the department to invest in research related to tourism and climate change for the country to be ready for the imminent future negative impact to the sector. And then the recommendations by the committee to South African Tourism, to the South African Tourism Board rather. 6.8, it is for the board to strengthen internal controls as well as intensify risk management work to avoid repeat audit findings. 6.8 is the recommendation is for the entity or board rather to continuously reposition the work of the entity, and this is to adapt to constantly emerging international trends for timeless brand and destination relevance. The recommendation here is to the minister, and this is with regard to Section 9 of the Tourism Act of 2014, and that is for the minister to change the requirement of the Board of South African Tourism from being an accounting authority to being an executive authority, since it is not permanent in the day-to-day functions of the entity. The recommendation under 6.10, and that is for the department to provide equitable budget, or rather the entity to provide equitable budget for leisure tourism as well as business tourism, and in order to leverage more from both. The recommendation to the entity under 6.11 is for it to strengthen domestic tourism, and this is through repackaging affordable deals for citizens, as well as looking into the strategy of dual pricing, which will be in favor of locals, basically making travel more affordable for local residents. 6.12 is for the entity, basically a recommendation here to strengthen its marketing mix activities, and that is to ensure that at the end of the day, the brand stature and work yields more conversion, and that there is a direct correlation between direct marketing work as well as sales. The entity is also advised to engage the Department of Health in understanding the process of health passports and their possible future implications in South Africa. the recommendation here is for the institute to investigate the new travel trends as mentioned previously, and basically plan accordingly to ensure that South Africa is not left behind when it comes to maximizing the benefits of these. 6.15 here is the recommendations, is particularly to the revision of the 2030 international arrivals target that was against rather the 21 million additional arrivals which was announced by the president. At this point, the current arrivals target is a bit unrealistic, especially with the predictions or the forecast that recovery to 2019 pre-levels will likely only take place after 2024. So the entity needs to revise these to ensure that they are in line with current forecast and predictions. 6.16. The entity is recommended here for it to intensify strategic partnerships with other stakeholders such as Brand South Africa, as well as missions abroad, and the means here is to ensure that it basically stretches its available budget for domestic as well as international marketing. 6.17, the recommendation here is for it to ascertain value for money for the funds allocated to all its programs, and the aim here is to ensure that the returns are high on the various investments. The recommendation here is for the entity to basically provide feedback, and this is 6.18, to the committee, and that is on the government process of repurposing public entities to provide clarity on the future of South African tourism and Brand South Africa. This, the possible merger between these entities is something that was announced, however, this has been quiet, and it is important that this is clarified going forward in order to ensure that South African tourism basically performs on its mandate efficiently. And then the last portion with regard to the recommendations to the entity is for it to intensify airlift troubleshooting work. And this is aimed at regaining all the routes as well as airlines that were lost as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And those are basically the observations as well as recommendations by the committee to both the Department of Tourism as well as South African Tourism. And then the last portion of the report is basically the conclusion. And this is just to highlight that the committee is generally satisfied with the APPs as well as the related programs that will be implemented under these plans, as well in terms of spending for 2022. However, it is clear that as a result of constrained financial resources, the department's mandate will not necessarily be adequately fulfilled. And what these APPs have revealed to the committee is that serious forward planning as well as the rationalization of resource allocation is required from both the Department of Tourism as well as South African Tourism. So that the tourism industry will continue to remain in the doldrums for the foreseeable future, and the 2023 APP is a welcome stepping stone towards sector recovery. The programs and projects tabled by both the department and entity combined indicate the sterling work done by the private sector will assist also in efforts for sector recovery. However, these APPs also operate under the against the implementation of the court ruling on the Tourism Equity Fund, coupled with the National Treasury moratorium on the appointment of service providers, and these basically provide their own or bring their own challenges to the implementation of the departmental programs, which are geared towards sector recovery. And this is something that the committee will need to keep a close eye on going forward, especially when it comes to quarterly reporting on targets by both the department and the entity. And that is it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for the presentation. But the network and load shedding doesn't make it easy for us to receive the report. However, for sure members have managed to note some of the things that are raised by the report. I'm going to allow the minister before the committee members' deliberation to say or make an input on the report. Minister Sisulu?
Yes, I'm trying to unmute. And good afternoon to the portfolio committee. To the portfolio committee and to the to the people who presented the two documents. It will be very difficult for me to respond in detail to all the issues that were raised. We've taken note of them, especially the administrative part, which we are trying to put in place. That one, it was a very useful input from the submissions. I just wanted to indicate that having taken note of what has been indicated, I think that we perhaps have missed out a number of opportunities to explain to the portfolio committee what we're doing. We were just caught up in running from one event to another. I think what is missing in the report is the absolutely magnificent work that has been done, especially by the board in starting with the Live Again program. We were the first liftoff and show that COVID is something that we can deal with, live with, and work within. It was a very successful program, and it gave us the necessary platform to proceed with our work and invite a number of meetings in South Africa. I was really proud of that. It was a very hectic 2-3 months that has continued right up to now, and I'm finding it lacking in the annual report. It's something that has really given us the kind of prestigious persona abroad. We've been invited to so many countries to come and share with them how we're dealing with most of the issues that have been identified here, having affected us during the period under review. And I thought I should let you know that we have really been a trailblazer. We have been looked upon as an example of what is possible under the most difficult conditions. Been invited to various international fora and meetings to come and share with them how we are dealing with this matter in the way that we have. The second matter that I think has slightly been misrepresented, I think South Africa was very forthright with the declaration of the new strain, Omicron, and we have been thanked by the United Nations Secretary General for alerting them to this and for taking a bold stand to declare that we discovered it and we were informing the world about it. Unfortunately for us, the world being in a closed environment because of COVID, it was associated with it being a South African, of South African origin. We suffered a great deal of discrimination around that. We're red listed by a number of countries. But when we put across our case, it became quite clear that this was an eye-opener for most other countries that had the same strain and had not picked up on it. And we pat ourselves on the back for having taken this bold step to teach the world about what our own scientists are capable of and what we have been able to do and overcome in the greatest risk areas of COVID. And I thought that that should be part of the report to the portfolio committee. The rest is matters that we have also taken note of and are dealing with. The KZN floods, yes, we take note of the matters that have been raised that we should be part of anticipating weather patterns and being able to forewarn. But South Africa doesn't have that technology yet. The world doesn't have that technology. These are matters that we've had to live with as and when they come. I think what we need to invest in is what happens when they do happen. Do we have any a quick response, an immediate response to these things that is on standby? Should there be an occurrence like this ever again? And South Africa doesn't, because we had not anticipated it. But going forward, I suppose we will have to find a way of dealing with these matters. We've had various interactions with the private sector, which I'd like to have noted here. They willingly came to our rescue and created what they call a war room. They supplied us with incredible information that we could only get from themselves about the patterns of domestic travel and etc. And if we go on to have a measurement, an accurate measurement, an instrument of correct measurement of incoming visitors, it's important that we take note of their capacity and bring them in to do what is necessary. With the help of the private sector, we were able to push government into several relaxations. Most of the relaxations that we have had have come on the back of the fact that the tourism industry has been very vocal about what is happening to them as they face an uncertain future. So when we go down to where we are now, it is important that we thank the sector for the pressure that they've put on us and the possibilities that they've opened up for us of looking at other ways of opening up and yet at the same time making sure that South Africa is safe. We are very important. Most of the other matters that I would raise, which I raised here, are also in my budget vote, so I wouldn't want to go into detail into that. Yes, the recovery plan is ongoing, and we hope to present it to the portfolio committee when we are done with it. We have taken note also that in our review of our current mandate and legislation, we would need to take into account the kind of period we've been through and make provision for it. That also includes provision for the necessary support that government should provide to those parts of the industry that suffer because of natural disaster or because of the kind of situation we've been through in KZN. We regret the fact that Solidarity took us to court over something that seemed to us a very natural response of a government to a sector under strain, and we would like that recorded in the report. I think it was, I don't think it was necessary. I think it was, I wouldn't want to call it malicious, but I think perhaps we need to engage a little more with the people who took us to court. It impeded us from giving immediate support to those people who needed it as we went through the court processes. There could have been a way in which they could have interacted with the department, and we could have found ways of making sure that they too are included in the recovery package that we had planned. But we are where we are now, and I am informed by that sector that they have not been able to use the money that has been allocated to them by the courts. For me, it indicates good intent, and not quite malice, but perhaps just trying to prove a point, and trying to prove a point at the expense of money that could have been very easily used to boost those you know, parts of our tourism that most needed it, especially in KwaZulu-Natal. We have taken note also of the administrative matters that have been raised here, that on the National Public Transport Regulator, we should take a stronger stance, even though we're not the lead department, and we will certainly do so. The visa matter is something that is ongoing, and we have a number of discussions with various countries. But I must say, overall, most of the administrative matters have been covered, but the successes have not been covered. Maybe those will be covered when we get to the budget vote. I'm very proud of what has been done in this department during lockdown and to where we are now. And we will inform you of our pride tomorrow. But thank you very much for that very informative briefing that we've received from you. We've taken note of all the things that need to be done. We also will be taking advantage of your advice to interact with National Treasury and around the allocation of the bank. Statistics working together with the private sector, so that we are able to notch up when, you know, all our the departments that are responsible for this particular area are not necessarily counting how many people have come to visit and how many people have come to for business and etc. And we will take up our responsibility so that we're able to very accurately count what are the ups and downs in the statistics. From the chair, I will be going on and on about this, but we've taken copious notes and we're grateful. To the two reporters, we did lose some of somebody's report because we could not hear. There was an interference. We would be very grateful if we could get that report in writing. It would assist us making sure that we take note of what has been recorded in that report. But the report by the parliamentary monitor was very clear, and we have taken copious notes, and we have explained where we think needs explanation. We are in contact with Brand South Africa. Brand South Africa itself does not know where it resides. That is a big problem. It resides naturally and in terms of our statutes in the presidency, but it does not have a role in the presidency. We've been in discussions with them to try and persuade them to cross over to our side, but that is a matter that needs to be taken through possibly by yourselves to make that recommendation, because we stand to benefit much more. South Africa stands to benefit much more when our officers abroad are able to brand South Africa, as opposed to having two different divisions trying to do the same thing and some of those falling through the cracks and not succeeding. We have had the opportunity to call our representatives abroad, and I don't know if the portfolio committee received an invitation, but it was most amazingly beautiful spectacle to see a group of largely younger people running our entities abroad, very excited about their work, very proud of what they're doing for us, and very proud to tell us what it is they're doing. It lifted us. It made a significant difference. And we will invite them again and make sure that the portfolio committee is not missed out on this matter. I think it was a short notice, but they're doing a very good job out there for on our behalf. I'll have the necessary time at the budget vote to thank the South African Tourism Board, which has been very good. We've had a very good relationship. It started off very stormily because we came in at the time when the Auditor General had was giving out his report, and it didn't look as good as the SAT had expected it to be, but we were caught between crosshairs, between the Auditor General being very adamant about his findings and the SAT also being very unhappy about the findings. But I think that is something that is behind us now. We're looking forward to a very clean audit in all these areas. I'll have the necessary time to go into the specificities that I have noted which have been raised in the report. And thank you for inviting us, and thank you for the two reports, Chairperson. Chairperson?
Minister? That insightful input. To allow you to deliberate on the report as tabled before us today. And I want to note hands, but I see no hands. Honorable Mbushi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good night, Honorable Minister, Honorable members, and the support team. Chairperson, I welcome the presentation, both by the researcher and that of the minister. I am not sure, but I so wish that on the issue that has been raised by the minister in relation to the issue that we have recommended that they must invest in research related to tourism, we are then therefore to rephrase our recommendation, Chairperson, for the provision of necessary support for disasters, Chairperson. Secondly, Chair, on the issue that has to do with the AfriForum, I so wish that this 6.4 says follow up on the court indictment against the Tourism Equity Fund, which was meant to assist or support the which was meant for Black economic empowerment, Chairperson, and then request the department to further engage not necessarily to engage. We then have to have an intervention in terms of dealing with the court order or dealing with the stakeholders. For them to understand the transformation imperative in the tourism sector, Chair. Also, Chairperson, on the issue that has to do with the notice, court notice on the tenders, Chairperson, I thought that we recommend that the minister fast track the repeal process or appraise the committee on how far are they with the processes in terms of insurance, because the court order, that court notice, ma'am, remains valid until 15 February 2023, unless it is repealed sooner, Chairperson. So, hence, I am proposing that we recommend as such, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, on the issue that has to do with TBSA and the work, tourism work infrastructure project, I also wish to recommend for us to recommend that The department must also devise means to build internal capacity for the implementation of these projects, Chairperson, with a view that they must not solely rely on DPSA or any other entity, Chairperson. Also, Chairperson, on the issues that relate to its sister departments, so as to address such challenges, Chairperson. Let me end there, Chairperson, for now. I also fully concur with the minister on the issue that has to do with the achievements of the department. Maybe we must be able to include them in the report, Chairperson. The minister must be able to confirm that with the KZN floods, from the Department of Tourism, there have been no interventions done by the department, Chair. Because as I was going through the report, I felt this one needs clarity, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mbushe. Honorable Pemani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the minister and my colleagues. Chair, I think what is missing on the recommendations is that a quick action against the culprits of corruption, if that may arise. It should not have been like in the past where the cases are taking forever to be resolved till the culprits disappear by means of resigning from the department and all that. So this time around, let's recommend for drastic and quick action against the culprits of corruption. And the other thing, Chairperson, I want to talk to is on the issue of Africa Forum looking transformation or interdicting transformation equity fund. You know, Chairperson, we don't have to sound apologetic about this thing. These people are intentionally looking transformation, and that's their cause. That's the cause of their establishment. That black businesses must never grow to their level. So I'm saying to the minister, don't sound apologetic. Let's fight back. There's no way that we will include people who are not qualifying into this transformation thing, which was meant to uplift the black people in the tourist sector. So let's fight back by any means we have. We can't try to include people who are not included by the policy itself. Thank you very much.
Honorable Winkler.
Thank you, Chairperson. Please do forgive my video is off at the moment, just to maintain the integrity of my audio. And thank you to the Minister and the Department. I have just a few points of clarity. In the report, it does make note that the CFO position is being verified at this stage. I remember that in our report back to the committee, it was said that the suggested appointment had been sent to the Minister's office for sign-off, and that they were waiting for the Minister's, I think, feedback on the suggested CFO. So I think that needs to just be included in that report back. Then with regard to the, I think it was the intersectional nature of collaboration between different departments with the Department of Transport there. We had also broached the issue of the minister's relationship with other departments like COCTA, to speak about municipal infrastructure and how key tourism destinations and hotspots are really being undermined by the fact that
infrastructure is collapsing across the country. And I had made KwaZulu-Natal a case in point where, for instance, after the severe floods here, the water and sanitation infrastructure has basically collapsed and Itaquini's beaches are completely shut down. And this is, you know, key tourist destination. And this is something that even predated the recent floods in KwaZulu-Natal, the fact that we've had sewage spills that are so regular that it's become almost infamous for the fact that the E. coli levels on the Golden Mile and reaching all the way down to Mshanga are far in excess of what is considered healthy and safe. And then the other issue was, yes, so it was infrastructure, it was Kwakta, it was about Department of Policing because of the perceived levels of very high crime in the country and the fact that other countries that issued low-level warnings are the fact that South Africa is an unsafe country and that this was actually quite unfair given that our murder rate in many instances was quite lower than a lot of other countries and that there hadn't been enough brand, I think, recompense. We hadn't tried to change that perception adequately enough and that this is thwarting tourism coming into the country. Then the issue of climate change, I know there is quite a small section here in the report and it speaks of how we have to deal with the impending impacts of climate change, but the fact is that this is actually, you know, something that should take up quite a significant portion of what we're going to be doing, what our objectives are as a department. The fact that the recent events in KwaZulu-Natal with the storm as time goes by, and our ability to bounce back from these events is going to become less and less effectual. And so we need to look at resilience and adaptation measures, because when it comes to coastal towns, I think it's all the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, when it comes to the interior, we're going to be facing massive climate disruptions, and this is going to undermine the entire tourist economy of this country and the economy at large. And I don't think we're placing enough emphasis on the impact that climate shocks are going to have on the tourism economy and the sector. And we're already seeing that as we're seeing KZN and drought, etc. So thank you.
Honorable Komba.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I welcome the report, the speech, or is it a report? But I would also love to see the minister also talking about, let me start by saying, most of the people believe that tourism, and I also believe in that tourism is a vehicle towards a job creation, and that will make sure that people are employed in those establishments. So I remember last year on the 30th of November 2011, to talk about the corrective measures which the Department of Tourism and as well as the Department of Labor and Employment are dealing with the issues of employment patterns where you find foreign nationals occupying all the restaurants more than South Africans who are not employed as a matter of dealing with issues of trying to balance the equations. That will also include South Africans into that market of employment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your contributions to the report presented to us today. The report raises a number of important factors. One highlight for me being reimagining domestic tourism. On that, I think it's important.
or will be.
Chaplain, we don't know. Evaluate whether it has department to achieve what it intended. And also, we need to also have this conversation with the department to understand whether they have identified what class designations in our country, and whether they've managed to market this destination within South Africa itself. I know that people around the country like Cape Town a lot. On holidays, they flock in Cape Town. They've got specific destinations of tourism that they visit, for instance, here in Cape Town. Able to get a sense of whether South Africans appreciate their own tourist destination and ensure that the tools in place and internal controls speak to this particular accurate data that we need to have. Two things from what and how the Chinese keep their data accurate, the overall data on the tourism and the tourists, whether domestically or globally, but we need to get those lessons from the Chinese and focus and ensure that as a portfolio committee we guide the department on some of these things. I'm hoping that Jerry, your team has noted the additional recommendation by honorable members to the report itself. Honorable Mbushe raised a number of recommendations to be included. Mani also suggested recommendations to be added onto the report. And almost all the honorable members that made contributions to the report have suggested recommendations. From what the minister put before on Brand South Africa, we need Brand South Africa more on tourism so that we also monitor the kind of road and the here in South Africa. The minister will have to assist us to convene whoever responsible
give Brand South Africa to tourism and put a Brand South Africa under the Department of Tourism. And there, I believe that it will be well placed instead of having a Brand South Africa in the presidency. They will never have a role. But they will never have a role. Their role is here in tourism. So whoever that is responsible to place entities under departments needs to be persuaded. And as a portfolio committee, we are available to assist in persuading that particular responsible person. So with that said, Dr. Kuzwayo and your team.
Yes, Chair.
Yes. Do you want to say anything?
No, just responding to your chair to say I'm paying attention to what you're saying. As an instruction to us, Chair.
You are breaking. We did not even hear what you were saying.
No, Chairperson, I'm saying as the support team, we have noted only the recommendations that have been made by members, incorporate them in the report, and circulate the amended report to the committee this afternoon, Chair. Thanks.
Okay. Minister? Honorable Minister. Okay, honorable members, can we move for the adoption of the report with the amendment?
Sorry,
Chair. Yes. Minister?
Yeah, we just have to plead with the gods and whoever else that deals with load shedding. It causes havoc sometimes. I didn't hear you calling me, or I heard the closing remarks of the chair about the Chinese model, and we've taken to indicate to you that we have kept statistics on the role of tourism and the contribution of tourism in our country. What has made us so resilient right through the lockdown is domestic tourism. And our figures have gone up, indicating that we play a very important role in the well-being of every individual that is able to take a break from the stress and strains of normal work. And we encourage that we are a very versatile segment of our economy. We've taken note, Chair, of your suggestion that we request the presidency to bring over the board, the tourism Brand South Africa segment, from remove it from his office and give it to us. We have been hard at work lobbying the entity itself. We will now write to the president directly. We would very much like the committee to support what you're saying in writing, because we would have much greater effect if we work together. At the moment, we are working as two segments that don't quite bring us the returns that we deserve as a country. If we work together, we would have wonderful responses. We would have, our numbers would soar, and we would do things so much easier. Some of the issues, Chair, that were raised by your team, I think that Honourable Winkler was very concerned that from the board's perspective, the sign off of the new CFO is sitting on the minister's desk. I can assure the Honourable Winkler that my desk is as clean as baby's bum. There is a absolutely not a speck of any dust or paper that is there on any day, nor would there be a submission of a CFO. I'll track it down and be able to report on this when we have the budget vote before us, but it certainly is not sitting on my desk, Honorable Winkler. And then also that we should work together with COCTA because of the infrastructure is a severe problem, especially for rural tourism. We are working together with COCTA, but not to the extent that we would like to, because COCTA itself is really bogged down with dealing with some of the huge problems encountered in our municipalities. We had a meeting, we responded very positively to the plight that befell the people of KwaZulu-Natal. Our teams were there the following day, assisting in whatever way they could, providing much needed food, cleaning up the beaches to make sure that they're not clogged up and all of those things. We were there. We will make sure next time that when we are there, when we need it, we will make a public statement of it so that everybody knows. But we were very much there. We were there together also with MEC for COCTA in that area, and we had a Zoom meeting with all the major stakeholders within the sector. And basically what their problems are come down to the infrastructure. When there's a bridge that is flooded over, and their business is closed. When there is no electricity, their business is closed. All of those very basic things they were able to convey to us, and we have noted them. But the most important one that they brought to our attention, which made so much sense to us, is they would like some kind of connectivity. They feel very alone out there in a rural area, and there is no way that they can contact the police station, because the lines are down, or contact the next entity, a tourism entity. So we have, together with the MEC, committed ourselves to ensuring that there is some form of communication that does not break down when it rains, so that those people don't feel isolated and very fragile when they have the kind of situation that occurred in KwaZulu-Natal. But they were really glad that we responded to them, and they were able to get responses from both of us about the problems that face them and the assurance that we are there to assist them. We have been there from the very beginning. So next time they give a report, they will indicate what it is that we have done. We did intervene immediately. I myself was not here when it happened. I was in the Philippines. Attending a conference where South Africa was lauded for the discovery and alerting the world of Omicron, it gave us a great deal of comfort. But back home, it was a different environment altogether. And I just wanted to say to you that when we reported to the conference in the Philippines that we were suffering a huge disaster in one of our provinces, the people of the Philippines said, oh no, we have that every year. We have those floods every year. We just have worked out how to build our houses and how to deal with our locality to safeguard us from any such disaster. So perhaps we can learn from those countries that have experienced intemperate weather because of climate change, how they have adjusted. There's no way we can push it back. It is almost on us. We just have to find a way of how to protect ourselves from the disasters that we have had in KwaZulu-Natal. Comrade Chair, thank you very much about your reimagining our domestic tourism. We have been trying to do that. And I must say that SAT has played a very vital role in us trying to reimagine. And as I say, this is something that I will talk about in my budget vote. It has been it's been a whirlwind of excitement working during and after the COVID in the Department of Tourism. I also want to thank the Deputy Minister in front of everyone. He is very quiet, so I don't know if any of you have heard his voice for a long time, but whenever I'm not there, he very quickly is able to fit in and do the work as seamlessly as the kind of person that he is, and I'm grateful for all his support. And I've had to respond to all the invitations that we've had, just so that we're able to share our own views about COVID and what we've done about COVID. We've been very much in demand over that, and also to learn how other people are coping with the situation that we are coping with. So we've been very much running around while both the DG and the Deputy Minister, most of the other matters are taken out, which have been raised, and we will also respond to the fact that we need to be proactive. We are extremely proactive. So proactive, I think Malema would call us stutterer. I think that's the word he uses for people who are out there. We're very proactive. Perhaps we need to make sure that we take our communications a little more, as several steps up, so that we are able to communicate what we need to be. And I am worried about a matter that was raised by one of the members here about how AFRI Forum has been dealing with the matter of supporting upcoming SMMEs. I think it is malicious, but even worse, what worries me is how do they get such accurate information from my department? Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Honorable Min, of the report with all the recommendations, hoping that our team has captured all the recommendations, and also that the report must reflect our deliverables and so on. So we are going to adopt this report with amendments. And those amendments will be circulated to us later in the day. Can we move? Hands? Honorable Winkler, is that a legacy hands?
I'll move to adopt the report. Thank you.
Honorable Bushes?
Thanks, Chair. I move to second the adoption of the report.
You move for the adoption of the report.
I'm seconding, Chair, because Honorable Winkler adopted.
Oh, okay. Honorable April?
Thank you, Chair. I was going to second the second, but it's fine.
Okay. Honorable Ketamabala?
I think Chair President is in seconded.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. The report is duly adopted. You can remove it from our screens and slide our draft minutes, which is the next point on our agenda, tabling of minutes. Mr. Poltina.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get my minutes up, Chairperson, please. Just a second.
Okay, we are waiting.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. There we are. I am so sorry if I sound funny. I have a very severe flu on this side. But it's fine. Let's go. Honorable Chairperson and members, these are the minutes of last week on Tuesday, the 10th of May. The committee will recall in that meeting that the SAT, we had a hearing with the SAT where they were presenting to us their annual performance plan and the proposals that are there for them to allocate the budget to their respective programs. Those are the members who were in the meeting, Chairperson. I hope members will indicate if there's any mistake there, which I don't think. All members who were there have been reported, indicated. And also those who were there accompanying the DM in that meeting are also reflected there, Chairperson. Then the board members who were there and couple of people from ministers' office. Chair, if we look, for instance, from page 3 up to page 8. This is a summarized version of what we have we are presenting here, that was presented by the entity to the committee. But where I want to take the focus of the committee to is on page 9, where the committee was dealing there with the deliberations after the presentation has been made by the board and the executive management. The issue that came out in that meeting, the committee was a little bit concerned about these management positions that are still not been filled in the entity. The committee raised that as a concern, Chairperson. The department, the entity has responded to that the way it has responded. To that extent, we left the meeting with a sense of feeling that because the view was that from the side of the department of the ministry, the minister was targeting something around the 25th of May in that cabinet meeting, so that some of those matters that needs to be endorsed by the cabinet will be endorsed in that expected meeting of the 25th of May. One of the issues again that came up to the committee, Chair, was this issue again of an airlift, which the committee was of the view that in one way or another it does impact on what the tourism is doing. We were assured then by the entity that as people were participating from the meeting from abroad, they were saying part of the reason why they were out of the country was also exactly one of the reasons on the Airlift strategy where they are trying to engage other communities so that there could be some MOUs signed that may lead to increasing frequencies to South Africa. And also on the business event, and that was also the issue again that was raised again by the committee, including the grading system as well. It's also an issue that was raised that there is a need just to make sure that when people are dealing with the grading system, because it is a policy matter that belongs to the executive authority. At that stage, we were told that this matter is still undergoing to a process that is being led by the minister, Chatterjee. Also, the issue of Indaba, Chatterjee, it's a pity that the portfolio committee was not able to attend Indaba, although we did receive the invitation. Unfortunately, because of the parliamentary processes, we were not able to attend it. One of the issues that the committee raised was that there is a need, one, to get the report from Indaba, and also that report should also indicate to the committee in terms of the SMMEs, where the SMMEs that came from the villages, from the township and the small towns. And then if it can reflect on those issues, then the committee will be very happy with those initiatives, Chairperson. And also, again, the issue of Tom Spalesi, it was also an issue that was again raised by the committee, including the internal control environment within the entity, so that we make sure that there are no further repeat findings that will come and haunt us from the Auditor General. The issue of Brand SA and SAT is also another issue that came out again in that meeting, Chairperson, as it has come out again in this meeting as well. We appreciate what the minister is saying, as it has been the view of the committee for some time, that is, there is some duplication that is going on between these two entities. Also, the issue of stakeholder engagement, the global health passport, and also the revision of 21 million tourists by 2030 was also another issue that was also again that came up from. That came out from that meeting as well. So those are some of the key issues that came up from the deliberations between the committee and the entity. So all in all, the committee has welcomed that presentation from the entity, and also we have agreed that we will make a follow-up on the auditing processes so that we make sure that there are no other matters that will haunt us along the way as we are going to the annual reporting at the end of the financial year. Then thereafter, there were two sets of minutes that were tabled to the committee and considered and approved. One, the meeting minutes of the 29th of March, and also the minutes of the 3rd of May 2022. Both of them were considered and approved by the committee. Go further down soon. And then were approved by the committee. Then also, the committee also considered the recent recent report of the oversight that we have undertaken to Limpopo. The committee as well, the report was tabled, and then there were some inputs that was made by members, and then we highlighted those issues, and then we sent the report back to the committee so that members can see whether the accuracy of capturing of their input that they have made. And then we have received a positive feedback from the members, and then on the basis of that, and then we sent the report through to Parliament, the report was that it was then 80 seats, is already in the parliamentary papers. As of when it will go into the House, then we will still hear from the programming committee and the programming whip and all of that thing. And then the other issue, Chair, that we have also indicated was that there is also a need that we can have an engagement again with the department on the issue of this infrastructure project in the country, and now that the Development Bank of Southern Africa will be taking over, we need to look into that. And also we will have to also the department and the DBSA also brief us again on this memorandum of understanding that they have. And also it was agreed that there will be a need again for the committee to have a revisit to move a project in Limpopo, Chairperson. Because what was more worrying to the committee about the investments that have been made, because what is going on there now, the infrastructure is there, but the infrastructure is not being utilized. But because it is not being utilized, and it's being vandalized by people and by the members of the community in that area. So all in all, this is a short summary, Chairperson, of those deliberations of the Portfolio Committee on the meeting of the 10th, Chairperson. If there are no issues, then we will propose that the committee endorse this draft minutes. Thank you, Chairperson. My voice is fading now. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable members, the minutes is a true reflection of our deliberations. That's the question we need to answer. And how we answer that question is by adopting the minutes. If there are amendments that you need to recommend on the minutes, we will adopt the minutes with those amendments. Can I note hands? Honorable Maneli, you are not there, but your hands is up.
I'm here, sir.
Oh, but I've been calling for you. Your hand is up.
For some time you break, Chairperson. Apologies to what's happening. Okay, fine, Chairperson. I think the minutes are a true reflection of what transpired in the last meeting, and will therefore move for adoption of these minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Gomba.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I second the adoption of the minutes. Thank you.
Are duly adopted with no amendments. They are adopted as they are. Do we have any announcements?
Chair, on my side, what I wanted to check with the committee, Chair, whether would it be okay for the portfolio committee so that we can arrange that meeting between the committee and the department for the 24th of May, Chairperson, on that Tuesday.
Jerry,
I can't hear you, sir.
That you were quiet, so I'm...
Oh. Okay,
sir. So you want to hear me?
I'm not sure, Chairperson, but I so wish for the committee to welcome back Honorable Gumbi.
Honorable Gumbi?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, okay. Honorable Gumbi, we welcome you back to the portfolio. Looking forward to your fruitful contributions to the portfolio committee moving forward, and you are welcomed. Thank you, Honorable Bushe, for reminding us on that. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity and thank all of you and your fruitful contributions as always. We'll be informed of our next meeting by the secretariat and the team. They will put out is 11:25. The time remaining, because we're supposed to conclude our meeting at 12, will be added in our next meeting if we exceed the allocated time, because that is possible as well. So, honorable members, we can go and prepare for our mini plenaries and join other budget votes for other portfolio committees, because it's important that we attend those budget votes as well. And I wish all those who are going to be participating in our budget vote as a portfolio committee well. And I have no doubt that they are well prepared. We're looking forward to hear your contributions to the budget vote, in our budget vote in particular. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.
Long live Chair.
Thank you.